man. God had a perfect plan. To fellowship with us was his desire. But Adam disobeyed. To sin became a slave. Now a perfect sacrifice would be required. An offering must be made. The sin debt must be paid. So God and man can reconcile peace. So Jesus said, I'll go. Was his enemy. A love like this I cannot comprehend. He gave himself to pay a debt I could not pay. When I was lost, he gave himself to be my way. Though I deserved to be upon the cross that day. In love he took my won the victory that I could never win.
He gave himself
to pay a debt I could not pay. When I was lost, he gave himself to be my way. Though I deserve to be upon the cross that day. In love he took my place.
That's good. Amen. I tell you what. I started to say it make even an old dried up Methodist shout. It's about to make a Baptist do a holy dance. Amen. You know what a holy dance is, right? He said, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, you talk to God about that when you get to heaven. David did it. Amen. Worked for him. That ought to put a little excitement in our soul when we see anyone serving God. But especially the little children.
Amen.
Amen. To see them serve God with their life. You know, it's we've heard several adults say it. I'll never forget the first time Brother Dan Ward got up here behind the pulpit and he said, man, it's different up here. Amen. And it is different up here. It is. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been doing it. It's different when you get up before a group of people and to see these young children already at this stage of their life. Conquering that fear and wanting to serve God in spite of the fears and in spite of all that could and does happen, it's just a good thing. And I say to the children, to the young people, as your pastor, I'm very proud of you. And I know that all your parents are proud of you. And I know that God is pleased with you. And that's really, that tops it off. God's pleased with you, serving with your life. You have your Bible open to 2 Chronicles, and in our Sunday evening services, we've been talking about kings, and when I knew this time was coming, looking ahead, I've done about 14 studies on some kings This was one of them that I studied, Josiah, and I thought, well, you know, what better time than to bring a message on a young man than Children's Sunday in the evening service. And so I want to talk to you about a young man, and we'll come back and revisit some things about this young man, but I want to talk to you about some things. It being Children's Sunday, I want to talk a little bit about his youth and some of the decisions that he made in his youth that I think, and I hope, I really do, I think it can be a help to you. I know it can. And I think with the young people that we have in our service tonight, I believe from our youngest child, even right on up to the late teenage years, young 20s, young married couples, this is going to be able to help us. Every one of us can gain from this. So I pray that you'd give your attention, as you always do, to the Word of God. Josiah, what do you know about Josiah? You say, well, I know he was a young king. He started reigning when he was 8 years old. If that's all you know about Josiah, you're missing it. Here's a young man that had some heavy odds stacked against him. I don't know how much you know about Josiah's family tree, but his grandfather, Manasseh, was probably, and I don't think I would be stretching it here to say he was the meanest king, the most wicked king that ever reigned in Judah. I mean, wicked. This man was wicked. Now, he reigned for a long period of time. It was like 51, 55 years that Manasseh reigned, a long period of time. And during that time, something happened in his life. He actually turned to the Lord. In the latter years of his life, he served God in his reign. And this was Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh. You can read about that chapter 32, 33 here in 2 Chronicles, and then you go back to 2 Kings, 21, 22, somewhere in that area, you'll read some about Manasseh. Now, Manasseh had a son named, and I want you to look in 2 Chronicles 33, look at verse 21, and we'll find Ammon. Now, Ammon was Manasseh's son and Josiah's father. Now, this was a wicked man. Wicked man. So wicked that the people, it was almost like a military coup. They went in and took over, and I mean, they killed him. They killed him. He only served 2 years, very short reign. Served 2 years. Look in verse number 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The Bible said Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father for Ammon. Now, Manasseh, I want to make it very clear, he did do evil. But as if you'll read, and we'll see in our study when we do a further study in the future, you'll see where he got some things right in his life, and he did turn some things around in his life. But it says here that as did his father Manasseh, and I think that's very telling. Pastor BJ alluded to that this morning, didn't he? You know, you have to be careful, all of us. Listen, we're parents. And these little bundles of joy running around are like sponges, and they soak it all up, brethren. The things we want them to, and yes, the things we wish they wouldn't. Amen. They soak it all up. And so we have to be cautious of the way we conduct ourselves, and we have to be cautious of the life that we live, because our children and other young people are watching. So it says that he did evil in verse 22. In the sight of the Lord, as did his father Manasseh, his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. Now it makes an allusion, it makes a reference, and alludes to the fact that Manasseh did turn some things around. Look, if you would, what it says. But Ammon trespassed more and more. He didn't turn. He didn't turn. He just kept going in the wrong direction. He just kept going headlong into what was wrong. And he was proud. He was a proud man. And he would not humble himself, the Bible says, in the eyes of the Lord, in the presence of God. But he just kept on going and trespassing, verse 23, more and more. And his servants conspired, the Bible says, against him and slew him in his own house. It's almost like they got together and they conspired, and they said, you know what? We're tired of this. We're tired of what's going on, and we're going to just overthrow. And they did. And so the Bible says in verse 24 that they slew him in his own house. But verse 25 says, the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. All right, so here's the picture. All right, so his own party, if you will, his own cabinet came in and slew him. And then the people came in and slew them that slew him. So by default, look at the last part of verse number 25. Made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. So here's an eight-year-old child, okay? And the country was in a mess. You got people killing people and overthrowing people and people killing them for killing the person that they overthrew. And so it's in a mess. You got people steeped in idolatry. There's wickedness all around, all right? There's disobedience all around. Chaos. And now here's a young man that enters into this situation, this environment. The leadership that he assumes is a leadership of a people that's gone amok. It's gone haywire. So what's he going to do? Well, he could do like so many else. He could just turn a deaf ear and a blind eye and do what he wants to do and just follow suit. But he didn't do that. And you don't have to do that. And I don't have to do that. There's so many say, well, you know, preacher, it's hard to live for God in this world. Well, I'm not going to say it's easy, but I'm going to say it's possible. Amen. You can live for Jesus in 2017, 2018. You say, yeah, but there seems to be fewer and fewer people doing it, but you can do it. You see, because you can do what you set your heart and your mind to do. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You say, well, I'm not old enough to make a difference. This young man made a difference. The question is not, how old are you? Are you old enough? That's not the question. Are you bold enough? Are you bold enough to stand up and be different? Are you bold enough to be called an old Bible thumper, an old Christian, an old Baptist, you know, they say? Or are you old enough to take that? Are you old enough to stand on your own and say, I'm not going to be just a follower of some blind way? I'm going to stand for principle and integrity and character and what's right. Do you have what it takes to do that? You say, well, you know, I don't have Christian parents. That wasn't my question. My question is, do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes to be bold enough? You say, well, I'm not old enough. That's not the question either. The question is, are you bold enough? And so here's Josiah. Josiah, in chapter 34, verse number 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Now look at verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, given his family circumstances, a grandfather who spent most of his reign and life proud and arrogant, doing wrong and doing evil, making poor decisions, his father, we've already read, the decisions that he made and the route that he took, very proud, arrogant man, do it my way, don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, I think there's a lot to be said here. Here's a man that says, you know what? I am bold enough. I'm bold enough to make the right decisions. I'm bold enough to do what I know to be right. Now, I want you to watch what the Bible says about him, okay? The Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. Now, this tells me something about this young man. I'm not going to turn back to 2 Kings, but you write this scripture down. 2 Kings chapter 22, the Bible gives us his mother's name. And the Bible says that he did that which was right after it gives us his mother's name. I believe his mother had a huge influence in his life. Now there's a lot of people sitting on the sound of my voice that you came up in maybe what's called a single parent home. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about our pastoral staff. And I thought about how that 3/4 of our pastoral staff our fathers had very little, if any, real impact and influence in our life. I do not say that in detriment. God knows my heart. I do not say that in detriment in any way. I do not say that to sling mud or throw someone under the bus. I say it to try to teach a principle and a lesson here. You can hang on to that and say, woe is me, and I can't do it, and I've got the odds stacked against me, and there's no way. But listen, let me tell you something. If you are bold enough, if you want to make a difference, you can make a difference not only in your life, but you can make a difference in the lives of others. But now it's going to take some courage. It's going to take taking a stand. It's going to take being different. You got to dare to be different now. Got to dare to be different. And you cannot use excuses. Listen, you got to throw those excuses away. And you got to say, by the grace of God and with the help of God, I am going to serve God with my life and make a difference. Now, young people, you can do it. The question is, do you want to do it? Now, here's a young man that by all accounts could have said, well, you know, my family tree and this is against me, that's against me. But he didn't do that. I like what the scripture says here in verse number 3. It says, it walked in the ways of David, his father. Now, we know that David wasn't his father. David was his example. Now, he was of the lineage and you know, a king. He studied history. And he looked for, and listen to me, young people, here's one point I want you don't forget. Don't you ever forget this about Josiah and any other successful person that you will ever find that is a successful person. I did a study this past week. I just wanted to find out what the world thought. And you know what? It's interesting. You can do the research. What do the leaders of companies and the leaders of all sorts of, in all areas, what do they contribute to being successful in leadership? It's one quality. Now listen carefully. It's conscientiousness. You got to be conscientious about things. You've got to care. You've got to be aware. You've got to be tuned in. You've got to be honed in. It can't be just something that you do casually and in passing. You see, you got to take note. You got to want to look right. Amen. You got to want to be prompt. You got to want to see problems. You got to want to confront problems. You got to want to mend and fix problems, you see? In the business world, you got to care. You got to get involved. You got to get out there where it's at. You got to get out there where the rubber hits the road and make it happen. That's the way the world looks at it. Now I want you to watch what Josiah did. What Josiah did, 8 years old. All right? Now what Josiah did is what every successful person that you will ever read about has done. Not only was he conscientious, because he was conscientious. You know why I know that? Because the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He knew God was watching. Amen. Now young people, listen to me. God is watching. And you need to be aware of that. God is watching. Even when your parents can't see you, when the preacher can't see you, God sees. And that's just not for the young people, that's for all of us. Are you conscientious? Are you aware that God sees? The all-seeing eye of God, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching. And I believe Josiah got a hold of that at an early age. But number two, something about him I want you to notice, is that he had the right kind of heroes. Now listen to me. Look at what it says here in verse number 2. It says, he walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I believe he took the good qualities of this man David, and he says, you know what, I want to be just like David when I grow up. Now you may not be able to say, I want to be just like my dad. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can. If you can, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to shake your dad's hand, hug his neck, and say, Dad, thank you so much for being a great example to me. Amen. You ought to praise God. You say, well, you don't know. My dad's got some fallacy in his life. Don't we all? You praise God your father stays by the stuff. Amen. You praise God your father has you in church and your father's trying to do the right thing. Quit looking for the bad and look for the good and see what God is doing. Now here was a man who chose, a young man, he chose his heroes to to be those that honor God. You know how I know that? Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Right in the middle of that verse, it says that when he was yet young, meaning Josiah, he not only walked in the ways of David in verse 2, but when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David. He said, I want David's God to be my God. And I'm going to tell you, you know you're following the right person when you want their God. When their God is Jehovah God. Say amen with me now. This young man had it going on. He got his eyes on her. Listen, he didn't have his eyes on some thug with his hat turned sideways and his pants down to his knees. Somebody say amen with me now. With the bling bling on, trying to sing rap. If that's your hero, you're going to end up in the gutter somewhere. A failure. Wasn't a rock star. A drug addict. A woman abusing athlete. Now listen to me, young people, listen to me. Your heroes ought to be preachers and people that serve God. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. Our heroes don't need to be this crowd out here that denies God and scorns God and mocks God. Yes, he had the right kind of heroes. He looked to David. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. He said, I want to be just like him. Who do you want to be just like? Some straggly-haired, snaggle-tooth, God-denying, profanity-using athlete? I hope not. Don't be mad at me. I'm trying to help you. You don't want to be like that, do you? You want your hero to be somebody that gets up and you know, kind of can't even stand up straight. You know, I'm rapping for Jesus. Well, you look like you're about to have a stroke. That stuff is ridiculous. Rock music. Listen, those people ought not be the heroes of you if you call yourself a Christian. You're a Christian, young folks. Live like it. Stand up like it. Make a difference. You bold enough? So, well, preacher, everybody at the school's doing it. That doesn't mean it's okay for you to do it. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Are you bold enough to do that? Well, I know not many is doing it, but you can do it. He did that which was right. He chose his heroes well. You tell me who you want to emulate. You tell me who you want to be like, and I'll tell you where you're going to end up. There was a day when our heroes were the George Washingtons, the Thomas Jeffersons. Now they're spurned and turned against, and boy, I tell you, this world's gone crazy. They're trying to make them villains. Listen, brethren, those men were God-fearing heroes. They ought to be heroes of people. Don't you be ashamed for those men to be your heroes. Those are good men. You can say amen. Yeah. David, a man after God's own heart, he said, I want to be like that man. You find you somebody that's somebody after God's own heart, and you emulate them. That's a good thing to do. Amen. Then he said, not only do I want to emulate David, but I want David's God to be my God. Something happened in this young man's life. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, like many of you that are sitting here tonight, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now, I believe something happened in this young man's life, and when you study his life in detail, as I have, and many of you may have, I hope you have, and I hope you will when you get a little taste of what this young man had going on. Listen what happened. There's something that happens to all of us in life. Now, hear me now. That will cause us to realize, I can't do this on my own. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be a physical affliction. There's something that God allows to happen in all of our lives to introduce himself to us. I don't know what it was for you. I know what it was for me. Where God says, I want to get to know you and I want you to get to trust me. God allows it to happen. Now, we think it's at the time, oh my goodness, the bottom's falling out. This is it. It's over. But what God is really doing is saying, I want to teach you to trust me. You cannot do this on your own. And I want to teach you that I'll be here for you, son. Young lady, God wants to teach you. He'll be there with you all the days of your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. God wants to teach you that at an early age. He wants to teach you that. it happened to this young man. The Bible says, when he was yet young, in the 12th year of his reign, look at it, verse number 3. While he was yet young, in the 12th year of his reign, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the Lord. Now, in the 12th year, something else happened, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But in the 8th year of his reign, he's 16 years old now. He took reign when he was 8 in verse number 1. Now he's 16, and he realized, man, this thing called life has many challenges, and I'm going to need God to help me. I pray that you would realize that. Now, you don't have to be 16. You can be 8, 10, 12. You might be 18 or 20 before you realize it. But when you realize it, don't be too proud to humble yourself as this young man did and seek after God. He had an experience in his life. And I'm thankful that he had a God, he had a man who taught him the God that he ought to put his trust in. And so you be careful now, as I said, who you put up and want to emulate, because their God just liable to become your God. And so it's very important. So you see what happened here. Now I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you three quick things, and I hope it'll help you young people, okay? Your pastor loves you. The people of this church loves you. We want you to be successful in life. I want you to experience God's greatest for your life, God's fullest. You can reach God's fullest potential in your life, but now we're going to have to do it God's way if we're going to reach God's fullest potential. And so I pray that you would give me your undivided attention, young folks. Please don't miss this. Now, here's some things that Josiah did. Now, notice number one, what he did. The Bible says that after all of these things that I just mentioned to you, he was young and he wanted to become, he got him somebody that he wanted to emulate and put up, and he said, I want to be like him. I want to be like King David. I want to be a good king. I want to be a king, a man after God's own heart. And then he wanted David's God to be his God. And so he got in, and then he realized, you know what, I need God in my life. And the Bible says he began to seek after the God of David. He realized it's not enough just to walk after another man's ways. I need that man's God in my life. Now, young people, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to realize, I can't always do it like Dad. I can't do it like Grandpa. I can't do it like the preacher. I need God to show me the way he wants me to do it. Now listen to me. It's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with following the steps of a good dad or a good grandfather or a Bible preacher. And this is what he was doing. You see that? But there came a time where he realized, I need more than that. Verse 2 says he walked in the ways of David. But verse 3 says he realized that even that wasn't enough. He needed David's God to help him walk in the ways that God had for him. See, God has a path for you. He does. Can I show you something before we get into this? Listen, the more I began to study this young man, the more that God opened up to me. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn back to 1 Kings. I'm going to do this because, number one, the Holy Spirit's telling me to. And I believe the Holy Spirit's telling me to because there's a young person here tonight, and I don't know who that young person may be, but I feel in my soul, 1 Kings chapter 13, that there's a young person here that's saying, you know what, preacher, you're talking to those other young people. You're talking to people who can sing. Who can get up there and sing or play an instrument or can teach or can run fast or is athletic or can read scripture and they're not afraid of crowds. You're not talking to me, preacher. I'm timid and shy and I don't have a good home life or I don't have this or I don't have these abilities. So you must be talking to those other children and not me. No, I'm talking to you, young person. I'm talking to you, every young person. It doesn't matter what your home life is. It doesn't matter what your background is. God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. I want to show you something. Before Josiah even came on the scene, I don't know exactly how many years, I ran out of time. I started trying to put time frames together so I could trace back how many years before Josiah was born this prophecy happened. 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, look at verse number 1. You're in 1 Kings 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David. Watch it now. Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense unto thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Here's a king previous, and God gave him an insight and said, I'm getting ready to send a young man on the scene that's going to turn things around. Now, what's this tell me? It tells me what I already know, but it encourages me that I want to encourage every young person. Now, you listen now. God knows your name. Before Josiah's parents ever gave him that name, God said, Josiah, you see it there? By name. He said, I'm going to send him, and his name's going to be Josiah. God knew your name before you ever came into this world. Before that doctor handed you to your mother, before you saw your father, while you was yet in your mother's womb, God knew who you were. And God, just like he did Josiah, God has a plan for your life too. Young people, how I wish you could get that. God knows your name. He knows all about you. He's got a plan for your life. A plan for your life. A purpose for your life. Just like he did this king, God has one for you. He does. Aren't you glad God's got a purpose for life? I said this morning that there's three fundamental questions of life that men have been trying to answer since the beginning of time. Where did we come from? Where do we go when we leave here? But you know, in between that, there's an answer that we all need to know, and that is, what are we doing here? The purpose of life. Men are searching, and listen, colleges don't have the answer. Professors don't have the answers. God's Word has the answer. God's Holy Spirit will reveal unto you what His will and His purpose for your life is. So here God said, I'm going to send a young man, and it's going to be Josiah by name. Now God knew where you were going to be. He knew who you were going to be born to. He knew what era of time you were going to be born in, and He knew why He was going to put you here. So don't you ever lose sight of that now. Never. Never. God has a purpose for your life. So Josiah, took him a little while to get a hold of it. Turn back to 2 Chronicles. Let me give you these three thoughts. Number one, Josiah started cleaning up some things. Josiah said, I am not going to just be king and let things be business as usual. It might cost me something. Monetarily, it might even cost me something as far as friendship. Might even cost me something physically, my health. But he said, I'm not going to just sit by and allow things to go on as usual. I pray that God would raise up a generation of young people right here at Fellowship Baptist Church that will take a hard stand against the sin of our day. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You say, which one should I take a stand against, preacher? Take your choice. It's everywhere. Just take a stand against sin. I didn't say sinners now. Sin. Take a stand against sin. Notice what he did. The Bible says in verse number 3 that Josiah, after he began to seek after the God of David. You there with me? 2 Chronicles 34 verse 3. It says in the 12th year. In the 12th year now. So 8 years after he became king, when he was 8, he was 16, he began to seek after the Lord. 4 years later, all right, 20 years old, he began to realize, I've got to quit seeing the problem and I've got to do something about the problem. All right? And this is what the Bible says he did. Look at it. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, and they break down the altars. Now listen, he began to get involved. Now, he didn't just, listen, this was something that was different about Josiah. He didn't just order it to be done. He got out there and got involved in it. Remember when I was talking about conscientiousness? Notice this, if you would, in verse number 7. And when he, Josiah, you see it? 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 7. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. See, he got involved. As the king, he didn't just send his men out to do it. He got involved in the project. It meant that much to him. It meant something to him because he was very conscientious about it. He began to take away a lot of the outward things. You say, now preacher, you can't legislate sin. I understand that. But I tell you what you can do. You can take a stand against it. You can take a stand against it. You know, it'd do some of us good to set an example in front of our sons. And some of you is going to say, preacher, you have lost your mind. Now, I haven't lost my mind. Listen, and if I have, leave me alone. I'm having fun. Amen. Listen, I haven't lost my mind. Now you listen to me. It do us good when we walk into some of these convenience stores that's selling that smut that our children can walk in and see to let them know, you know what? I'm gonna have to stop patronizing your business if you don't get rid of that stuff. Now I'm not here to start a problem, but I'm telling you as a parent and as a Christian, that's offensive to me. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I'll do that. I think you should do that. I think every Christian should do that. Amen. We've sit by and let things happen, and our children see us let it happen, and they've lost their will to fight before they've even began to fight, because we have lost our fight. Josiah got involved and done something about the exterior. He began to tear some things down. He began to do away with some things. Now, we could go on and on when it comes to this. Some of this stuff called amusement and entertainment in our day is nothing but filth and trash. Filth and trash. The music industry, it is appalling. I don't know if you have just given a little ear to see what our young people, for the most part, in our country are listening to, but brethren, I'm telling you, it is appalling. Listen, I'm not talking about bebop and bobby socks. Hey, those days are gone. You say, well, I thought that was appalling. Then you would be shocked to know what they're talking about in today's music. You listening? If you're not careful, your young people's going to be, our children's going to be exposed to it on every level. And we need to learn what it is to take a stand. Now, Josiah came in, he'd done something about it. That was the exterior, all right? You see that? You see what he done? He purged. Is that what the Bible says he done? Now, we need to start some purging. We need to start some cleansing. And our young people need to understand that this is what we're to do. This is what we do. We take a stand against things. Now, I'm not saying go pick a fight with somebody on the street. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying take a stand. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again and move on. If you're an adult that has a child in the public school system, number one, you need to listen. I'd really pray about that. But now, whatever you do, that's between you and God. That's not up to me, you and God. That's between you and God. But I will tell you this. Whether your child goes to a public school, a Christian school, or home school, you ought to be very involved. And we heard it this morning from our pastor, BJ. You ought to be very involved in their life and in their school life. Know what they're being taught. Those folks down there at the school ought to know you on a first-name basis. Not as somebody who's down there to stir up trouble, but somebody who's capable of it if they go the wrong direction. That's your children, brethren. Now listen to me now. That's your children. You ought to attend every PTA meeting. You say, did you, Pastor? You better believe it. I attended every PTA meeting that we had, didn't I, Sharon? We homeschooled. But now there were a couple of years that Michael and Meredith went to a public school. We was there every time. Every time. And I let those folks know, I'm here to help. But also let them know, there's going to be no hanky-panky here now. We're not going to be talking about no apes and soup and slime. Uh-uh. Not without an outcry. Amen. Some of you looking at me like a deer in the headlights, brethren. I'm telling you, they're your children. Your children. There ought to be some purging. There ought to be taking a stand against some things. Now, if that's all there was, then you get unbalanced. But notice what the Bible says he did. After he began to do this in verses 1 through 7, look if you would in verse number 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, mission accomplished. The Bible says, and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now here's something that's very interesting. He got involved in taking care of some things around the church, the temple. Now, young people, listen to me. And God spoke to my heart. And I know this may, you know, Brother Allen, I wanted to talk to you about this, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you out loud. Amen. And I know me and Brother Allen's on the same page here. I don't know who it was telling me. I think it was Brother Dan. Said the other day when we had a work day here, there were some little boys up here working, and he said, you know what, Pastor? He said, that just done something to my heart. We ought to teach our young children to get busy around the church of God. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, they just get in the way. That's all right. We'll give them a little dirt pile over here to move. They can move some rocks or something. I just want them up here on the church property doing something. Amen. Amen. They can do a little something. They need to be up here doing a little something. Children. And I just believe it's good training. Good training. We ought to get all these young ladies, Sister Amanda, and just line them up and say, all right, now you vacuum that part. Now you vacuum that part. Amen. And straighten the books up. Get some of our young people involved in repairing. Notice what they did here. The Bible says that they repaired and mended. In the latter part of verse number 8, they repaired the house of the Lord. Now that's talking about the building. I wished I had time to go into this. If you'll look, you'll find the latter part of verse number 10 says that they repaired and amend the house of the Lord. They were workmen. They had it structured. You ought to read this, how Josiah set it up, and he had certain people doing this, and certain people doing this, and certain people doing this, and he had people over them, and he had everyone had a duty. Everyone had a responsibility. And look at verse number 12, and verse number 12 says, and the men did the work faithfully. They realized they were doing it for a higher purpose. Now, I want our young people, I want you to realize what you do here, you're doing it for God. You're doing it for the Lord. And we ought to teach these young people, if you're doing it for God, it ought to be your best. And you ought to do it faithfully. Not halfway and some of the time, but all the way, all the time. Say amen with me. Great lessons right here that Josiah and his leaders taught others about working together and using their gifts and abilities. When you read this account in your own reading, sometimes you'll find they were carpenters and they were builders and they were stonemasons and they were people, and they all came together with the ability and the gift that God gave them, and they used that to do a great work because each one used the ability that God gave them. My, how things come together when we as God's people do that in the house of the Lord. Physically speaking. But now I want you to, this is my final point. So you had the cleansing. And I want our young people to know there's times where you have got to take a stand. Somebody's going to come to you and say, hey, you want to smoke a cigarette? You tell them, no, I don't want to smoke a cigarette. Get that thing away from me. Amen. Amen. Get that thing away from me. I'm going to smoke no cigarette. Hey, you want to take a little drink? I don't want to take no drink or nothing. You get that stuff away from me. Amen. Hey, listen to this. And they start profanity. Hey, you stop them. I don't want to hear that. That's garbage. I don't want to hear that. Amen. And parents, you teach them. It's okay to say no. It's okay to take a stand. It's okay to stand up against some things at an early age and say, no, no. Here, there was a purge and a cleansing. And then they began a repairing. They got involved in the work of the church. Now, there's a difference between the work of the church and church work. They actually got involved in church work right here. The work on the church. And so, let's get our young people more involved. Now, they're already involved, but let's find ways. And by the grace of God as the pastor, I want to find even more ways to get our children involved in church work. More ways. It's great training for them. And then number 3, and this is where we close. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, as they were cleaning up the temple now and doing some repair work on it. Now, it's much deeper than what I've told you tonight, and we'll go back into this, but I'm talking to the young people. Get involved. When you're asked to help with a project at the church, and many of you do, and I praise God that you do, you jump right in there, and man, you're involved, and that's great. That's great. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. Then the scripture says in verse number 14, as they were cleaning the temple, something very unique happened. Watch it. In verse number 14, it says, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. If you'll read this account, you'll find where they found a lost copy of the Word of God. The Word of God had been misplaced in the church, of all places. When you start putting this together, you find that it becomes so evil and so wicked that the Word of God was just put on the back shelf, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, kind of like where we are today. You know, one of the things that thrills my soul is when I look out and I see these young people. If you are 16 and under and you have a Bible, I want you to hold it up. Hold it up real high so the preacher can see it, and so the church family can see it, and so the devil can see it. I want him to see that you've got a copy of the Word of God. Look at this, brethren. 16 and younger come to church and they got them a Bible in their hand. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. God bless you, young people. You can put them down. Amen. That's great. Got their Bible open, turned, and they're following the preacher. And that's great. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way we ought to be training them. Here, the Word of God got lost in the house of God. You see that? They had to find it and dust it off. You know why? It hadn't been being read from. It hadn't been being used. The law of Moses, the Pentateuch, hadn't been being used. Isn't that what's going on in our day? You can begin to talk to people who are in churches, brethren. You mentioned the second coming of Jesus, and they look at you like you're an alien. What? The second coming of who? They're a member of some church and they've never heard of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why? The Bible's not being preached. The Word of God's not being taught and preached and proclaimed from our pulpits. It's just a big social gathering where people go and they hear some story and a couple of jokes, and then they have fellowship and tea, I don't know, and then go home. Hey, that's not church. There ought to be a man stand up with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and preaching the Word of God every service. Amen. There ought to be young people lined up and listening and following, being spoken to by the Word of God every service. There ought to be conversation on the way home. What'd you learn in Sunday school today, honey? Amen. What'd your Sunday school teacher teach you today? We talked about Moses, Papa. Amen. Amen. We talked about Daniel. We talked about those three Hebrew children. Hey, there ought to be a preaching and a teaching of the Word of God. But the Word of God is lost in the house of God. But they found it. You know what they did? They brought it out. And I want you read you this here. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and this is where we'll bring our message to a close. In verse number 17, it says, "And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it to the hand of the overseers, to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes." Now I'm going to build on this when we study this king in our study in the future, but young people, notice what happened here. Here was a young man that though he was a man of authority, though he was a man of leadership, he realized who the ultimate authority was. And when the Word of God was read, he fell under its leadership and he humbled himself under its teaching. And the Bible says that in verse number 19, that he rent his clothes, which is a sign of repentance, which is a sign of humility, which is a sign of coming clean before God. If you'll skip over and you'll find And I don't have time to go into this because of time, but the scripture says that God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a curse on the people. But Josiah, because you are the man of humility, the young man that you are, he said, I'm not going to bring it in your time. Look what he said here in verse number 27. God said, because thine heart was tender. You see that in verse 27? Look at it, young people. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to allow you to live your life without this trouble I'm going to send on the land, and you'll die in peace. Young people, as long as you'll stay humble before God, and you'll listen to God's word. The older you get, there just seems to be something in man that wants to bow up against God, doesn't there? And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. I spoke with a man this week who said, you know what? God has spoke to me and spoke to me and spoke to me. And I have rejected and rejected, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of rejecting God's word. Look at all the lost possibilities and opportunities because that man would not humble himself under the word of God. Don't let that be you, please. When God speaks to your heart, young people, when we have an altar call, whether mom or dad does or not, you come right on down here and do business with God. I don't think your parents would mind. If they do, now you do what your parents say, but I'm telling you, God speaks to your heart, young folks. You come right down here and do business with God. Stay tender before the Lord. Stay tender. Young men back there, look right up here at the preacher. When God speaks to your heart about something, you deal with it right then. See, as you get older, the old devil, he just keeps trying all these tricks. Well, you can just wait till you get home. Or you can just wait till another time. Or it's not that bad. Well, if God spoke to you about it, it's bad enough to do something about it. And so please, please, stay humble before the word of God. So here was a young man who did something about the outside. He purged, but you know what? It's not enough just to get rid of some things. Right? You got to do something with God's word. Got to have that inward cleansing too. That outward purging of tearing down the groves and the high places and the images, that's needful. Don't misunderstand me. But there's got to be a change on the inside. And that comes from the word of God and hearing it, and listening to it, getting involved in the work of the church and church work, and letting God do something with your life. I've told this story, and I'll ask you to stand as we close tonight. I've told this story, and it's very simple. When I first got saved, I'll never forget the man who led me to Christ. When I asked him this question, he looked at me like, he couldn't believe I asked him this question. But after he won me to the Lord, he was getting ready to leave, and I said, sir, and he said, yes, sir, or yes, son, and I said, now what do I do? And he just looked at me for a while, and he said something like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about serving God. What do I do? I've done it wrong all my life. I want to do it right. What do I do? And this is what he told me. He said, young man, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, you get in church, and when you hear preaching, whatever you're preaching, whatever you're told in our church, do it. And he left me with that. It's worked for me. Amen. Amen. It's worked for me. Amen. He didn't give me a long dissertation and exegesis, you know. He just said, you get in church, and when the preacher preaches and the Bible says do it, then just do it. Amen. It's worked for me.
Amen. Amen.
Young people, it'll work for you too.
Amen.
Some of the greatest things that I can cherish in life have happened to me in the midst of a local New Testament Bible-believing church.
Amen. Amen.
I married my beautiful wife in a church. What a red letter day. I got baptized in a church. I got called to preach. I announced my call to preach in a local church. Amen. We've dedicated our children in a local church. Some of the greatest decisions, I mean, right up there at the top now, were made. Now, I didn't get saved in a church. But other than that, I'd say about every great decision I've ever made in life, I made it in a local church or through the influence of a local church.
Amen.
So listen to me, young people. The local church is where you want to spend your time.
Amen.
When the doors of the church are open, find yourself here, seeking what God has for your life, the purpose for Him to serve you in the local church. It's where it's at.
Amen.
It is. You say, well, you can go to heaven without going to church. I know that. But you might not get there the way you want to. See, we're all going that are saved. But make sure when you get there, you got there at the time that was planned in the condition that God desired. And that was His purpose was fulfilled through your life. All right? Let's bow our heads together. The church, God's purpose, God's plan. Young people. I wonder if there's any young people tonight and do a little purging. Not from the 7-Eleven, maybe some purging in your bedroom. You need to go home and just throw some of that stuff out. I don't know. I wonder if there's some young people as the pants begins to play that just needs to do a little searching in their heart. God, I want to do what you have for me to do. Amen? I want to do your will, Lord. What about it? And don't be one of those that bows up. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart. Be tender. Be humble. And let God have His way in your life. God speak to you about something? If He did, won't you come and join these children, young people, and adults? God, I want to do your will. I want to get my life going in the right direction. I want to get my eyes on the right people and select the right friends and heroes to emulate. Men with backbone and principle and integrity to pattern my life after. What about it? Might be some parents in here tonight say, I need to be that. God, help me to be that to my children.